Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. Hope you guys had a great weekend. You got an opportunity to get some R&R. This past week in Atlanta, GA, the weather was bonkers, and Saturday was no exception. A lot of rain and surprisingly hail, some substantially sized hail fell from the sky. Luckily for me, it didn't really impact my area of town, but I had some friends in surrounding areas that kind of sent pictures of what was going on near them. And the only thing I could think of is, thank God for a garage, or as Tammy Roman would say, a garage, because it's just the little things. It's so funny because when I first started looking for a home, I knew that I wanted a garage. I know that it was something that was high on my list of priority. But when I first came to the community that I live in currently, I looked at the two-story townhomes here that don't have garages because I was so concerned. I had so much anxiety about the price and the cost and would I be able to afford it. And, you know, I've talked about, you know, my previous experience trying to purchase and how I felt like that gave me some form of PTSD when I started to look for houses later on in life. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, I probably could live in a house without a garage. And my realtor was like, that's not what you want, though. Like, you should get what you want and you should figure it out. And if it's a situation where you have to make some adjustments in terms of location or whatever the case is, you're going to want to get what you want, because it's not like shoes. You know what I'm saying? It's not like 2 years from now, you're like, oh, I'm sick of this house. I want a new one. I mean, some people can do that, but I don't fancy that I'll be in that particular situation. And I'm so glad that I did listen to her and her wise counsel in that regard, because it's just the little things. You know, the fact that we are in pollen season here in Atlanta, and anybody who's ever lived in Atlanta or visited Atlanta during this time, you know that the pollen here is off the charts ridiculous. And I just think, like, of course my car is not completely safe from pollen, but the amount of pollen that would be on my car if I had to park on the street or park just outside in the elements would be so much worse. So thank you for a garage. No excessive pollen and no damage due to hail. I'm grateful. Can't complain. So I just chilled all day Saturday. I ordered in. I stayed in bed. I watched TV. It was great. It was wonderful. It was a great way to spend the weekend. Sunday, the weather was a lot nicer, and I kind of got out and ran some errands and watched the Oscars. Because anybody who knows me knows that I'm a huge award show junkie, particularly the acting awards. I don't know what it is about, like, the SAG, the Golden Globe, or the Oscar, but I really like just the award show. I think I really fancy seeing what people are going to wear. And there were some cute things. There were some messes. Like, Halle Berry had her out here looking like a old girl from The Incredibles. I can't even think of her name. Dreadful wig, but she looked cute. And she was out on her first date with Van Hunt, which is cute. Angela Bassett looked phenomenal. Regina King looked phenomenal. I mean, some people just always come to the award shows giving their best. And, you know, in true Academy Award fashion, there were definitely some surprises and some upsets. I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, Oscars so white and boycotting the Oscars and the whole thing, because it's a whole conversation. And I've kind of talked about my views about award shows in the past, but I will share some of the good things. It's so funny because I had a friend who she messaged me on Facebook. Maybe she just dropped a comment and was like, you know, I actually had two friends. So I had a friend who did message me and was like, you know, I don't watch award shows, but I look so forward to your commentary during award shows. And I mean, it's one of those things. I've kind of got myself into trouble, very similar to my Black History Month facts. You know, it's an expectation. So now if an award show is on and I'm not commenting, I'm getting a call or a text message like, you're not watching these award shows. Like, my dad was like, so are we commentating on the Country Music Awards? I was like, no, sir, I'm going to miss that one. I'm going to miss that one for sure. But anyway, a couple of highlights from the Oscars this past weekend. Daniel Kaluuya won Best Actor in a Supporting Role for Judas and the Black Messiah. Mia Neal Jameika Wilson, as well as Sergio Lopez Rivera, won Best Makeup and Hairstyling for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. This is pretty big because Mia and Jameika represent the first African-American women to win in this particular category. Ma Rainey also won for Best Costume Design. Trayvon Free and Martin Desmond Rowe won Best Live Action Short Film for Two Distant Strangers, which is on Netflix. It's about this guy that's in this loop where he keeps having an encounter with a law enforcement officer, and he dies, and he wakes back up, and his whole thing is he's just trying to get home to his dog. And I think, you know, of course, the first time, all of these stories pretty much start the same. The first time, you don't really realize what's happening. You think you're having a nightmare, and then you realize you're in a loop, and now you're trying to figure out how to get out of the loop. It's about 30, maybe 40 minutes. I need to check it out. I haven't watched it yet. Obviously, a lot of people are involved. It seems like Jesse Williams was an EP on it, as well as Diddy. I think Terrence J had some involvement as well, because I saw him in a couple of pictures. That was cool. Soul won for Best Animated Feature Film, which I think is so funny, because the individuals who are behind Soul are white folks. So it's like, somebody, like, what the irony that the first is one of the first feature films where the animated feature films where the whole premise of it is about jazz music, and I guess it's very similar to La La Land, but I digress. I haven't seen Minara, but Young Yoo Jung, I think I'm saying that right, won for Best Supporting Actress, and she was freaking hilarious. Like, Brad Pitt is who gave her her award, and she said, "Oh, Brad Pitt, so nice to meet you." She said, "Well, I suck at accents, and I know my friend Quentin is gonna listen to this, and he's gonna say I don't sound Asian at all, so whatever." But she basically was like, "Where were you when I was feminine, like when I was young?" She was so funny. Really enjoyed that. Tyler Perry actually received the Humanitarian Award and gave a pretty interesting speech about, you know, rejecting hate and standing in the middle, and, you know, pretty much dedicating his award to all individuals who were willing to step up to the plate in rejecting hate. Thought that was cool. Viola Davis actually is the person who presented him with his award. John Baptiste, Trent Reznor, and Atticus Ross won for Best Original Score for Soul, which is great for John. He's a phenomenal pianist, and so it was really good to see him win that particular award. Totally surprised by this, and it's so funny because I had just said during, like, the pre-show, all of the Best Original Song artists performed, which is typically, that's kind of what has happened at the Oscars over the years. And her, along with D-Mile and Tierra Thomas, wrote Fight For You for Judas and the Black Messiah. And I had just commented, I was like, this is a great song, and the performance was great too. And I was like, she ain't gonna win. And by golly, she won. Her won. 23 years old and an Oscar winner. And I don't know if her intention was to wear purple and do this whole homage to Prince, but that's kind of what she did, and I think that that's awesome. totally awesome. So that was cool. I have to shout out Glenn Close, who I didn't realize is at this point one of the most nominated individuals who has never won. But I thought, first of all, I thought Hillbill Elegy was really, really good. I was actually surprised that Amy Adams didn't receive any nominations for her role in it either. But Glenn Close was great in Hillbill Elegy. And they were playing this game, L'Oreal and Questlove were playing this game where they were trying to determine, you know, they were saying which of these songs were these songs ever nominated? Did they ever win? What was kind of the situation with it? And Debut was the song that Glenn was asked about, and she knew it and she talked about it. And it was just a really great part of the night. I really enjoyed that, which was cool. the Halle Berry looked a mess, and not her outfit, because she always looks good, but her hair choice was just off the chain. They had her out there looking like Edna from The Incredibles, and I just don't understand why. Like, Halle Berry has always lived her best life in short hair. I feel that same way about her, not her the artist, but her as in Halle Berry. I feel that way really about Jada Pinkett. I feel that way about Toni Braxton, obviously Anita Baker. Like, these are women who have always like lived their best life in short hair. And the bob was short, but it just looked like Edna. It just wasn't cute, and I didn't like it. Angela Bassett looks stunning as always. But I will have to say that I was a bit blown, and this is all I'm going to say about this. I was really blown by the lead actor and lead actress choices for the night. Like, I've never seen The Father. I know Olivia Colman was nominated for supporting. And then, of course, Anthony Hopkins is who won lead actor. And I think everybody was expecting Chadwick to win, you know, based on predictions, based on algorithms. Like, he won the SAG, he won the critic, he won Golden Globe. Like, it totally blows me that he didn't win lead actor, you know. So that was crazy. And I was actually just shocked that Viola did not take home the best actress for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Frances McDormand ended up winning for No Man's Land, which also did pretty well that evening in terms of the awards that it won. I really was pulling for Andra Day, me personally, because, you know, she career-wise, she's not an actress. And sometimes these types of opportunities come one in a lifetime. So happy that she won the Golden Globe. Was very excited she won the Golden Globe. But didn't think she would win, but was hoping that she would. It would have been nice if she won. It was the same thing for like Leslie Odom Jr. Like, I didn't think that he was going to win any of the awards that he was nominated for, because he was nominated for Best Original Song too, because he wrote a song for One Night in Miami. And then, of course, he was nominated in the Best Supporting Actor category against Daniel, as well as Lakeith Stanfield, who did a really, really good job. But obviously, the night was Daniel Kaluuya's. This season has really been Daniel Kaluuya's. It was just amazing. You know, obviously, Viola won the SAG, which kind of separated her from the fray, but she didn't get it. Anyway, I said this wasn't going to be an Oscar show, and I've spent the last 5 minutes talking about the Oscars. So we're going to move on. What I really want to talk about today is investing in yourself. This came to mind because I've just been thinking about some of the things that I've attempted to do, I've tried to do over the last, I guess, year, you can say, to just put some energy into the things that make me happy, into things that make me smile, into things that I think will make for a better version of myself. And I think that it's extremely important that I pass this message along, because 2020 was a fucking year. You know what I'm saying? It was, nobody woke up January 1st and expected 2020 to be the way that it was. You know, I remember January quite vividly because I had gone home for Christmas. And then I had turned really right back around 2.5-3 weeks later. I went back home to Detroit for a business trip. And then I parlayed my business trip into a trip to New York to spend time with my best friends and to meet my goddaughter, who I didn't know was my goddaughter at the time. I was really just going to spend time with my friends, Kevin and Alicia, and meet their daughter, who had been born in August the year prior. But it was also going to be an opportunity for me to spend time with my best friend, Steven, who is Aliana's godfather, and my best friend, Edwin, who's been out of the country for, you know, years. He was back in the States. And so to spend time with him and then catch up with a host of other friends that I know in New York, because I know a ton of people in New York from college, really. And so it was exciting to go there and chill out. And I love the energy of New York. It's a great place to visit. And 3-4 days in New York is awesome. You know, unfortunately, we didn't see. Oh, I'm sorry. We did. Had I known that this was going to be my first and last live performance of 2020, I went to go see Porgy and Bess, and it was a great time. I really had a really good time while I was there. Great food, got a chance to relax, relate, release. We always get a great Airbnb because Steven is the is a G at picking those places out. You know, right location, you know, the right amount of comfort. It was just bomb. It just really, really worked out. But you know, I no one knew that 2020 was going to be the way that it was, and there's just an incredible amount of loss attributed to 2020, and it's indescribable in so many ways. I mean, we lost giants, people that we thought were invincible, indestructible, to COVID-19, and then we just lost people just in the vein of that's how life goes. You know, every year you lose people, and you never know who you're gonna lose unless you know. I mean, there's some instances where you know, but it was just a crazy year. And we take so much for granted, and I think 2020 really just illuminated that fact. And I have to start investing in myself. It's important. If you would have told me at the top of 2020 that by the end of the year, I would have a home and that I would literally be sitting in my home recording my podcast, I would have called bullshit, because in my mind, I was just preparing myself, preparing the way for that to happen. And look what happened, you know? You know, and then, you know, the whole concept of becoming a homeowner, and then 2021 coming around, and you're like, okay, I have to make better decisions because now I have a huge responsibility. And so I started off this year by taking a portion of my stimulus check and starting my LLC, Phil's Artistic Solutions. I haven't done much with it yet, to be quite honest. I literally just printed out the certificate this past weekend because I went to a friend's house and she has a printer. And I printed it out and I was like, this is the first time I'm actually seeing it on paper. I've only seen it in PDF form on my computer. And it was like, this is great. The intention of starting the LLC was putting everything that I do artistically under one umbrella. My podcast, anything that I do musically, anything that I decide to do from an art consultant perspective, which is associated with my master's degree, everything would kind of fall under that particular umbrella. And so I started that. I started to actively do tennis in a different way, to the point now that I have a tennis coach, and I do lessons at least once a week to get better at something that I enjoy. You know, that's great exercise. I'm sore as shit today because I had a match last night that kicked my ass. It was a three-setter, and I lost in the third set. But I'm not disappointed because I played well, and I know the difference between me today and me a couple weeks ago is that my fitness has gotten even better, and that's what I need to work on. I need to work on being more fit and making better choices so that I can be leaner and healthier, so that when matches get tight, I can be better. I started saving this year. Like, it's not a big amount, but I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to amass a great thing. Like, I'm one of those type of people where it's like, if I can't see $2,500 in savings, then it's not worth it. Well, you know, if you put $25 away however often, you can get to $2,500 as opposed to not having anything there at all. And so I just started chipping away and putting like $25 per pay period into a little savings account. You know what I'm saying? It ain't much, but it's my first real attempt at saving in my entire adult life, in my entire professional career. I have a credit card. I'm really excited about this. I think I've mentioned this before, but I have a credit card that I had done a balance transfer to last year. And it's one of the first times I've actually done a balance transfer, and I've held and maintained a particular schedule. And I don't know when I decided to do this. I don't know if I did it at the beginning, but at some point I was like, I got to pay this off by this time. And so I was like, I just need to pay more than the minimum. I have to actually pay this off because I want to be free of this particular debt. And I'm on track to have paid it off in August. And that's a big deal to me because credit card debt has consumed me in a lot of different ways, and we can talk about that at a later date because I think it's something worth talking about. Credit card debt has been tough on me, and it's just, you know, irresponsible choices and decisions that I made, and I'm literally trying to right those wrongs because I really want to be like, I want to be 40 and I don't want to have any credit card debt. Like at 40, I'll have my house, my mortgage debt, which I hope there's a way I can get out of that. I'll have student loan debt, which I'm really hoping I can get out of that. And then I'll have whatever car I'm driving, but I don't want to have any credit card debt looming over me. I want to be in a situation where if I charge it, I can pay it off, or I'm using my card to take care of my regular expenses for points purposes and being able to pay it right off. Like that's the life I want to live, kind of like cash and carry. And so I have to start somewhere. It's not just going to happen overnight. As much as I would love this one-time event, this instant windfall that makes everything better, it ain't happened. So if anybody out there is waiting on that windfall, let me tell you, brother, sister, it does not come easily. So, you know, you have to put in the work. And so I'm just investing in myself in that way so that I can get to a place where I can pay those things off. The last thing is I had a music lesson this past weekend, which was really, really important to me. And it was important to me because I sing. And I sing pretty well, you know, there's no mystery about that. But I have always wanted to have a greater level of musicianship. And for me, because I'm often in times where I'm asked to come in and be a staff singer, I need to be a better reader. And the realization that I wasn't a great reader and I hadn't gotten any better and I hadn't given any time to it was something that I really wanted to change this year. So I have a friend who has his own music company. He's a phenomenal artist and he's an educator as well. And he was like, I only need 90 minutes, man. And I promise you, you'll be on the road. You'll be on the right track. Like you still have to do the work, but I'll give you the tools. And it's so interesting that as familiar as I am with music, as much as I've done music and been around music, that 90 minutes was illuminating. It really proved that there was so much that I didn't know. And he really just gave me helpful hints and tips to improve on what I do know. Because he's like, there's a lot that you know, like you understand music. So it's not like I'm talking to somebody who's never done this before. You know, I just need to see where you are and bring you up. And it was eye-opening. Am I still working on it? Absolutely. You know, he basically was like, I'm gonna be real with you. It's going to take 6 months for you to get to where you want to be. And it's going to be 6 months because you're spending some time dedicating and devoting some time each day. Doesn't have to be a lot of time to just doing this to get better, picking up a score, reading through it, trying to figure things out. You know, he gave me pretty much a formula, like this is what you need to do. First, you do this, then you do this, then you do that. And he said, you'll find that it'll get easier and easier over time. You'll start to identify things easier. These are some things that you can do, like just laying in your bed, like, hey, this is how this works. This is what this note is. And then you get to a place where you can sit down and you can kind of play it out and figure it out that way. And it was just eye-opening. And I feel so good about making that investment, making the investment in music, making the investment in tennis, making the investment in myself in terms of a business opportunity. Like, I don't know what's going to come of it, but I want to be prepared. And we say all the time how important it is to have and not need, as opposed to need and not have. And so I'm trying to be on that route. And in the end, I'll be a better person for it. Like by investing in the business, who knows what will come of that? And I'll already have something in place to handle whatever that is by investing in tennis and becoming a better tennis player. Working on my fitness, because you're forced to do certain things. Like a huge part of being better now that I'm kind of getting a hang of like technique is the fitness aspect of things. And the only way that I'm going to become fitter is if I make some choices, which are going to help me in the long run, because I am definitely terrified of becoming a diabetic or having high blood pressure or hypertension or any of those things. And so I have not been the best steward of making sure that those things are in place and in check, especially after coming out of a COVID-19 environment where we're home and there was a lot of eating and a lot of drinking at the very, very early parts of that, that I still haven't recovered from. And so, you know, just making that investment in myself to be a better version of myself, to put things in place so that they're available to me when I need them is so important. And I just urge everybody who's listening, whatever that thing is, that you've put off, that you've put to the back burner, if 2020 has taught us nothing else, it's taught us that time is a precious commodity that we can't get back. And life is so crazy, and so many unexpected things can happen that you don't want to waste time not taking a step to do something that you want to do for yourself, something you've always wanted to do, because you might not get that opportunity again. I mean, even if we look at like Chadwick Boseman's life, I was talking to a friend and he was like, you know, I wish that we had some type of warning. I wish he would have said something. I wish we could have prepared. And I was like, you know, he lived his life the way he wanted to. He lived his life in a way that was comfortable for him. The people that he wanted to know knew. And I understand, as Black men, we are so often discounted. He didn't want to be in a situation where he was discounted or perhaps didn't get an opportunity or job because somebody knew something about his medical history, which is very much so private. As long as he was able to do the work, which is obvious and evident that he was, because there are countless movies that we saw where we just didn't know what was going on. And I remember the first picture I saw of Chadwick Boseman, and you know, people were talking about how he looks sick, and I was like, there's something there, there's something more to it, you know. And then shortly thereafter, you know, he had passed away, but he was living life on his own terms, but he was also making an investment in himself and his future. And regardless of whether or not he won the Academy Award or not, the mark that he made it's an indelible mark. It's something we can't take away from him. There's so many children who, you know, very similar to, not to liken him to President Barack Obama, but, you know, people believed that they could be, little Black boys and little Black girls believed that they could be the president of the United States. People have always said it, but him taking that position made it real. The fact that Kamala Harris is the VP and a Black woman who went to Howard University and pledged Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, the fact that little girls can see that makes it real. It makes it real. And just how Barack and Kamala have done that for little Black boys and little Black girls, little Black boys and little Black girls saw Chadwick Boseman as the Black Panther, and they saw this wonderful world that was created and curated for Black people with technology and clean water and peace. And because they saw that, they believe that it's a reality, that it can become a reality. And that's super, super important. So again, I'm going to get off my soapbox and just say, investing in yourself is probably the most important, the most vital thing that you could ever do. And I encourage everybody to do it, no matter what it is. Whatever the dream is, better job, becoming a first time homeowner, buying your first car, you know, saving, paying off debt, starting a business or restarting a business, getting some type of idea off the ground, an investment in your health, whatever it is, invest in yourself, give to yourself, love yourself. You'll be much better for it. And you deserve it, and you owe it to yourself to do it, because we only have one life to live, man. We only have one. And there's no do-overs, you know? I mean, unless you believe in reincarnation, but typically there's no do-overs. So you only get one chance to make the most out of it. So do exactly that. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being co-host. Thank you for liking, for sharing, for reposting, for rating, because all of those things are important and vital to the success of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Thank you for all of the creatives who feed into me, all the people who give me ideas. I'm constantly looking and working to improve the episodes and what I put out there for the world to consume. And just know that I couldn't do it without you and your support and your love. So thanks so much. Have an awesome, awesome Tuesday and week. Bye.